Welcome to another episode of the Money and Business Hero podcast, where we talk about the three pillars of financial success: money mindset, money management, and money making. My name is Florian Fritz, and my guest today, Madhu, used to be a monk. And today, he's a holistic health and business lifestyle coach and has trained hundreds of health and wellness professionals, coaches, and influencers in ancient sciences and helps them create six- and seven-figure online businesses. And how all that fits together, we're going to find out today. Welcome to the show, Madhu.
So grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome to have you. Let's dive into your story. Why did you become a monk?
Yeah. So you're telling me that most 18-year-old men on their 18-year-old birthday don't shave their head and move to India and become a monk?
Yeah,
a monk.
All of them do.
Yeah.
I was so the only one who missed that.
Yeah, right. Well, it was very unusual, that's for sure. Long story short, I was always interested in philosophy, theology, and you know, alternative types of practices, because I've always had a lot of questions, and a theme throughout most of my childhood growing up was I'd ask a lot of questions, and everyone says, yeah, you ask too many questions, or the answer doesn't matter so much. I'm like, I want answers. And so I studied various types of practices, and eventually I came across certain practices on the practice of yoga, not so much the physical, you know, stretching part, which is also helpful. I'm a, you know, yoga teacher. I've been training in the past, but primarily on the metaphysical aspect of yoga, which is like training the mind and whatnot. And after studying some of these ancient practices, which is like the Bhagavad Gita is one of the oldest literatures in the world, about 5,000 years old, excuse me, teaching on like mindset and the nature of the self and the nature of this world, the nature of divinity and the nature of individuality and souls. It's just really fascinating information. And as I started to learn it, I was like, okay, I want to go more into this. And I would start hanging out with people who would study this ancient yoga literature, these wisdom literatures. And they would never tell me to stop asking questions. They'd be like, ask some more. And I was like, yes. So eventually I was like, okay, I want to go to the motherland of this information. So I shaved my head, you know, went to India, traveled around there, and started living in monasteries as a monk, you know, one size fits all robes, and never had to worry about what color I was wearing today. It was orange, and never had to worry about my hairdo. I had just zoop and simple, a very simple life. Exactly. I like your do. You know, it's like, it was simple. You don't have to worry. You just, you know, wake up and it's done. And then I would spend about 6 months a year in India, and then they would kick me out because of a visa. And then I would spend a different, traveling mostly in the US, but also a little bit in Europe and UK in different monasteries. They're living there and serving. Much more I could share, but that's it in a biteful.
Awesome. Now, what do you learn while doing that?
Yeah. So the primary thing there is how to control the mind as opposed to the mind controlling you. Because if we don't have some practices around the idea of teaching the mind to cooperate and to actually become your friend, then the mind just runs a mess. I don't have to preach this, because we all know what happens when the mind runs amok.
Yes, I think we do.
Yeah, right. And so the primary thing there is not even just discipline, which I'm a big fan of discipline, and that should be there as well, but really is how to work with the mind in such a way that you can accomplish seemingly crazy goals. Like, you know, I mean, nothing too crazy, but we wake up at 3:34 every morning, do a few hours of group meditation, some 2 hours of individual meditation. We would take classes on the ancient yoga literature, specifically around philosophy and theology. Depending on what one's psychophysical nature, you'd learn different things. Some people, they were inclined towards cooking, so they would learn the traditional sciences of holistic cooking. For me, I was interested in the holistic health, which is called Ayurveda. It's a about 5,000-year-old practice of holistic health. And some people focus more on the meditational aspect and different features depending on what one's interest is. And my primary service was learning holistic health and going to universities and teaching mantra meditation or musical meditation to really anyone, but specifically other students in universities. So like this, people would be plugged in according to their natures in a way that works. And then you learn ancient traditional sciences accordingly.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, why did you stop doing all that and started going into business?
Yeah. So there's not so much of a standard program. Like, for instance, you might get an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree or a master's, and it's like usually whatever, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever it might be. It's not so straightforward with within the monastery. It's more or less as your teachers see as you're progressing. It gets to a certain point where 99% of student monks will graduate and become normal people. I mean, I don't know that I'd ever call myself normal, but something like that. You know, reintegrate that knowledge you learned back into society. And the idea is, after about a little over 4 years in, it started to get to the point where I was like, okay, I think it's time to reintegrate society. And just about 5 years in, I had a graduation ceremony, which is pretty much saying, okay, now you're going to take this information you've learned, and the idea is you're here to serve. You're here to go out and just serve others and try to share this information in a way that anyone can start to digest and assimilate it. So yeah, after this time when I graduated, it was time to it's time to be normal again. There's time to live in this world. And also, the sense is, you know, being a celibate monk is really easy. It's super easy to be a celibate teenager going into your early 20s. I hope everyone's laughing as I say that. You know, there's it's like, and you know, who doesn't want to wake up at 3:30 every morning? You know, there's all these things. It's like, it's an austerity. It was a challenge. It took a lot of time and attention. So it got to the point I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to take a little bit of ease here and reintegrate, if that makes sense.
Awesome. Yeah, I do understand some of your arguments to do that.
Totally.
So what
Yeah.
time do you wake up today?
I'm a big fan of like 5:36. Like, that's a good time for me
Fantastic. That's still early for me. Anyway,
Sure.
better than
Sure.
3:30.
Yeah. And now I actually get my full 8 hours of sleep. That did not miss. I mean, honestly, being a monk, life was so much more simple. I actually didn't require quite as much rest and sleep, but I like my good 8 hours.
It's also healthy, I think, to get 8 hours. Now, your business now is coaching other coaches, health and wellness practitioners. How did you go from being a monk to building a successful business? What were your secrets there?
Totally. Yeah, it's not typical path. So what happened was, after I graduated the monastery, I then took these skills that I had primarily around meditation and mindset and Ayurveda, which is again like a holistic science of primarily through diet and lifestyle changing the mind and improving one's quality of life. And so for about 2 years, I, in the mood of service, as many holistic folk do, go out and just give at the expense of my own health and my own mindset.
And it doesn't give that much money, right?
And yeah, I made in US dollars like something like $15,000 a year, and because I was primarily just doing donations, but I was traveling extensively. I was opening up centers. I was doing what I would gratefully consider to be good work. Like, the effects were there, definitely helping people, but at my own expense, and it was very unsustainable. So after about 2 years, it just got to the point. I mean, I wore my body down so intensely, and I was so wiped. Just drained in all ways, to the point I couldn't really help. I couldn't really serve. And I was like, okay, something's got to give. And I remember sitting and meditating, like, I got to figure out how to make some money. Because up to that point in my life, you know, prior to 18, I didn't make any real money. I made like a little, you know, minimum wage hourly being a lifeguard or something like that. And then I made $0 as a monk. So, you know, being now in my early to mid 20s, I was like, how in the world am I going to make some money? I got to figure out some way. And at that point, I have now my wife, a partner at the time that I was introduced to. And so I was like, okay, I gotta get on it. And so I meditated. I thought, what could I do? And I said, okay, you know, I lived in India. I know India. I could take people around India. I'll do an India pilgrimage. That's what I'll do. And I was so afraid, because I was like, now I have to charge like a few $1,000. And I was like, okay, what's the least amount I could charge? And I was just so there's so much fear around it. And I sold my very first one out. And for the first time in my life, I made more in those 2 weeks of that pilgrimage in India than I had made in over a year, you know? And so, you know, again, going from like $15,000, $16,000 in donations a year to now making more than that in 2 weeks. What happened in my mind is, I realized nothing in my life changed except for my mind's opinion. except for me actually having made a decision to go for what I want. And not only did I make some more money there, but now I actually helped people more than I was before. What? Why am I, how can I help more people now that I'm charging them? Doesn't that make them not like me or judge me? No, now these people valued my time far more than ever before. And let me tell you, they started to listen. And now I actually started providing much bigger transformational experiences because people pay attention, people value what they pay their money, attention, and time to. And so by holding people accountable to that, I actually started changing people more. And then at that point, something shifted. I said, all right, now I got to figure out. So then I started figuring out, okay, how to learning sales, learning marketing, learning aspects of business. And I mean, over the last several years, spending way over $100,000 in all these different types of courses and trainings. Just like, I was like, I need to learn this. And after a few years of running my holistic business, including retreats, Ayurveda, mindset, et cetera, and making, you know, a multi six-figure business out of that. What happened was every other friend I had that was in the industry was like, hey, how are you making money? I'm exhausted and I'm broke. And so it's slowly, about 2.5 years ago is when I started to shift my attention more towards helping other healers, professionals, wellness professionals, coaches, grow their business. Because now instead of helping one person at a time, by helping one person, that's going to now go help another 50, 100 people. It was a much more efficient use of my services and my skill set. So that's how that transmission progressed.
Awesome. Now, I think you said something super important, that actually by charging people something or charging them more, you'll help them more because now they take it serious what they're actually doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, everyone says, I value this, I value that. But whenever somebody says, I value this, I say, show me your bank account and show me your schedule, because then we'll actually know what you value. Because it's like, okay, if you're spending, you know, half of your time on X, but you say you want Y, it's like, okay, we've got a problem here. You might want to value that, but you actually haven't valued it yet.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many people say, oh, I can't charge more, or people won't come or won't, I don't know, like me if I charge too much. But actually, you're doing them a disfavor if you give everything away for free, right?
Yeah, and you know, I obviously, don't get me wrong, there's exceptions, but I totally agree with your assessment there that by charging people, you know, it's going to make it everything more sustainable too, because we can only give so much. I always like to say a drowning lifeguard can't save any, but a strong lifeguard can save many. And so in that same way, it's like, if you're taking care of yourself, which, unless you want to shave your head, move to India and become a monk, and I mean, I'd be a hypocrite to say don't do that. But unless you want to do that, you got to have to live, especially if you want a family. It's your responsibility. You got to take care of them. And so you are obliged and responsible to make an earning while changing people's lives, because that's sustainable, as opposed to just giving from trying to give from an empty cup.
Great. Thank you. Now, when you work with all those friends, and now probably not only friends, but other people as well, yeah, helping them grow their businesses, which part is more important? All those technical stuff about marketing and advertising and selling that you learned, or the monk mindset thing?
Yes. It's not a close call with this one. It's absolutely explicitly clear that you can have every good strategy that's out there, every right marketing campaign, every right sales funnel, and still be miserable and unsuccessful. However, if you have the correct mindset, even if you don't have the right systems, quote unquote, which I always pride myself off of having very alternative systems. Everyone says you have to do it this way. I'm like, I'm going to do it the other way. I'm kind of quite contrary in nature, but you can, if you have the right mindset, even if you don't have the right, quote unquote, right systems, you still can and will be successful. The mindset is so important and essential. And I know you know this, you're an example of this, is by developing the type of mindset that is going to become impenetrable and consistent. No matter what you then do, if you are now resilient and consistent, you will become successful. It's just a matter of time. Whereas again, even if you're using these system strategies, but your mind is crushing, even if you are successful, are you successful if the mind's crushing you? And if every day you're stressing and anxiety and freaking out, is that success? I wouldn't qualify it to be that. So absolutely, with absolute certainty, developing mindset, which as you alluded to, we develop a system called the Monk Mindset Method, which is how to train the mind for us who want to live in the world and don't want to shave your head, become a monk. Something like that, where you're training and developing your mindset and ultimately your mind to cooperate so that it does not control you, rather you control your mind.
Great. Now you have this Facebook group, the Monk Mindset Mastery, right?
Yep.
What do people learn in there? How do I start to control my mind instead of it controlling me?
Totally. So we have, the Monk Mindset Mastery with, we have a Facebook group, we have a couple different groups where we teach mindset there. And it's, everything's just a gift just to try to help. Anyone can find us on any platform. If you just go to madhu.life, 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 you can drop us a message saying monk, and we can send you link to all of our free groups where you can participate. The primary thing that we're exploring there is, again, teaching the mind how to cooperate. I can give you a couple examples here in terms of...
Let's start.
Great. So there's five pillars. Love that. There's five pillars to the Monk Mindset Method. And some of them might seem commonsensical per se, but they're the overarching pillars that we then expand onto. The first one is we help people get in touch with their actual desires and wants. If you don't know what you want, we got a problem because we can't get you there. you can't solve a problem if you can't write it down. In the same way, idea, it's like, we need to know what exactly it is that you actually want, what your goals are. And we get a really clear idea of the whole protocol and process around that. And then from there, what we do is we develop what we call claims. That's the present tense version of the destination of your desire. What that might be is you might say, oh, I want money. I want money. It's like, why? Why do you even want money? What do you want the money for? What are you going to spend it on? How much money do you even need? As opposed to just picking arbitrary numbers, what is your value based? And like we figure out, okay, very diligently, how much money you need to be making in order for you to actually be thriving? And how do we make logical sense given with your skill sets so that you can make X amount doing your purpose, doing your dharma, which is a Sanskrit word for, your intrinsic nature, your intrinsic purpose. And turning that into the end goal result. From there, then we break down what are the behaviors necessary for you to achieve those results? Like if you were to do X every day in this amount of quantity, in this amount of style, in this particular fashion, you will become successful in this particular goal. We break down those behaviors and then from there we put it into a schedule. Okay, what does your schedule need to look like in order for you to be consistent in doing those behaviors so that you can ultimately be successful? And then the fifth step is a little bit more complex, but we call it the stressors and relievers. Functionally, it's what are the things that are going to stop you from being consistent? Now that you know what you need to be consistent to, and how do we have a whole plan, how do you overcome those? And similarly, what are the things that are going to bring you back to your center that are going to help you, incline you naturally to actually want to be more consistent in a way that's, again, you're not always fighting the mind. You don't just want to grab the mind and try to control. It's like you have to work with the mind, and it's a type of dance. So like these are the five pillars of the first step of the Monk Mindset Method, and we don't even do anything else until those five are understood and practiced.
I think, practiced is the important part, right?
Yeah. Theory helps, but until we actually do those behavior, until we do the work and then follow the work that we did, it's all theoretical.
Awesome. And after that, there's more steps if you've mastered those happy once you've got those.
Well, if you do those, you will be happy because you will become successful. It's just a matter of time. I always teach people, we're not trying to be fortune tellers. We're not trying to be able to tell our future because no one can do that. We're not omniscient. There's no use even trying. But what we do want to do is create a logical system that will or should amount to the result that we're looking for, as opposed to just hoping. I mean, I'm open to people just manifest, they say, I just think about it. I'm like, sure. Also think about it. That's why the second step is claim. We get like pretty much like it's a customized affirmation that you're creating mental real estate for the thing you want to exist. So I'm a big fan of that, but it can't just stop there. It's not just like, I just think about it and exist. Maybe if that happens, cool, call me. I have a couple requests for you.
Yeah, me too.
We have to, yeah, right? It's like everyone's going to call. We have to match that with the behaviors, the habits that are needed to become consistent that way. So if one does that, you will be successful. It's just a matter of time. Hopefully it's in the amount of time that we plan and program, but maybe it's shorter, maybe it's longer, but it's going to happen. If you do those first five steps, you're going to be successful. But of course, there's much more specifically around understanding the mind. The ancient yoga literatures teach mindset in a way that fortunately now Western psychology is catching up with. And because sometimes it's looked at as woo-woo, like you hear stuff, but there's not the mechanism explained. So it's like, it's woo-woo. And I'm personally like, that was one of my biggest resistances. It's like, it's too woo-woo. But now we actually have data, published data, that prove these things that people have been practicing for thousands of years, why it works and how it works. And so an example might be, we hear about the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. And we even hear the concept of the ego. So these concepts have been talked about in the ancient yoga literatures for about 5,000 years. The manasa, or the emotional reactionary subconscious mind, and the buddhir, which is the intellectual discerning ability of the mind, which is the conscious mind, the place where you can actually make conscious decisions. And then you have what's called the ahamkara, or the ego. They call it the false ego. It's a little bit different than the Western conception. They're still catching up there. But, you know, I took for granted learning these things that now are like mind blowing. So a lot of what we do is teaching how the mind actually works. Because if you understand how the mind works, the mechanism behind it, then again, it's easier to control it. There's reasoning behind it. There's understanding what to speak of the actual protocols to change the mind, to create new neural pathways so that when a stimuli happens, you can change your conditioned response to that.
And recondition yourself. So to
exactly
easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I totally agree that the behavior and taking action is important. I think that many of those law of attraction lectures or lessons, that part is missing. Just by meditating or thinking of something, usually doesn't happen, right? I have to do something for it.
Take some action. Yeah.
Great, great, great. Now, one more thing about you. I've read you're playing in a punk band as well. How does that fit together? how did that happen?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I'm very grateful because so my friends who've run this band for a long time, you know, the band started when I was like 2 years old or something. Actually, I think maybe before I was born. But my friends who run this very successful band called Shelter, when I was a monk, I've always had a natural ability towards music. Growing up, I've studied music classically and vocals and, you know, everything, piano, guitar. I mean, for those of you watching, you can see there's there's like a sitar and bass guitar and tablas, and that's only a few of what you can see here. I've always been into music. And so what happened was some of my friends who play in this band, they wanted to start touring again. You guys can check out Shelter. And they asked me to play because I could just pick up a guitar and figure things out, you know, pretty much on the spot and, you know, learn some harmonies add some harmonies on the spot, et cetera. So they asked me to play. And so that started like a month right after, 2 months right after I graduated the monastery. And it fulfilled that desire. Every musician always kind of wants to play music for people, no matter what, whether they admit it or not. And, but I was like, that's a big ladder to climb. I'm never going to do that. But somehow divinely it was placed in my lap. And so, yeah, we since COVID, we haven't toured much, but yeah, we tour all around the world, everything, mostly the US and Europe, but played in a band.
Well, let me know if you come to Vienna.
Yeah, we've played, no, we actually haven't played in Vienna yet, but not too far from there.
Cool. Let me know if you're in the area.
Of course.
Great. Manu, now between monk and monk mindset and business, how important is money for you?
I would say that money in the form of resources is essential for all humans because we're all dependent on resources to live. Money now being the primary form of resource trade. Back in the day, it might have been whatever you had, if it was spices, if it was food, whatever it might be. There's different ways, forms of trade. So 100% of humans need some form of resource. And today, the primary form of resource is money. So it's essential. And in that way, it's important. However, Money itself is never the focus. Money is the means of acquiring the thing that's important. You need the resources to get where you want to be. So with that understanding, I will say it's essential. It's beyond important. As long, with a little caveat, here's a little, you know, the little parentheses, a little footnote at the bottom. As long as you know that money itself isn't the goal, it's the means of achieving the goal that you want. So it's what's more important than money is knowing how you can contribute in this world to provide value to other people. And if you know that, then you use money as the vehicle to deliver that system.
Wonderful. Thank you. Totally agree. Very beautiful. I couldn't put it as nicely as you do. Now, my probably favorite question. What's your best wealth building tip for our audience?
Mm-hmm. What I would suggest is this. My biggest wealth building tip is for everyone to be very diligent in terms of what type of income they need to be making personally first. And yeah, that means do the math. Look it up. Okay. In order for me to live where I want, this is how much. In order for me to drive the car I want, this is why. In order to eat the food I want, this is how much it would take per month, per year. And I suggest people be very diligent about what I would call their quota. Like if you had everything you wanted and where you're thriving and you're supported and you're not thinking about money. And I'm not suggesting we pick arbitrary number, $1 million, $1 billion. No, I'm saying you be diligent. You look, what would the life of my dreams cost? Number one, you'd be surprised. You'd be like, oh, that's actually not that crazy. I could do that. And then number two, now you have an actual goal that makes logical sense, that as long as you have some protocol to achieving that, as long as you have some system to achieve that number, you are far more likely to make that as opposed to just picking random number. I want to make $1 million. Why? What do you do with $1 million? Like, why would that money just randomly fall into your lap? Better. The biggest money and wealth building tip is to be very diligent in terms of what you would need. And then that also includes charity and long-term savings and everything else there. Figure that out first, because then you can make a plan. Then it's just a question. How can I make $300,000 a year, $800,000, whatever the number is? Then the just question is like, how do I get that much money? And even to take one step further, kind of like a tag on to that primary tip would be, especially if it's a service-based business or educational-based business, or even as a product, whatever, how many people can you help? What is your capacity? The perfect amount of people that you could help in a month, in a year, whatever that might look like. And then just divide the amount that you need by that amount of people. And then they're my friends. You have a price to charge that you'll feel good about. Then you'll never have to doubt why you charge that price. You're like, yeah, I charge X amount because that allows me the life of my dreams, where I can help only as many people as I have the capacity to, and not more. So I'm not overwhelmed. And in this way, I would suggest everyone start there. If you need to modify it from there, go for it. But start there. How much you need to be making, and then find how many people you can help without overwhelming yourself. And then you just do the math. That's my primary money tip.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that one. If somebody, I think you already mentioned your website, but if somebody would like to reach out to you and learn more, where do they find you?
Absolutely. So on all platforms, it's madhu.life, madhu.life. That's our website. That's our socials. Anywhere you go, you can find madhu.life. And there, just send us the word monk. We can send you all these free information. The goal for us really is just to serve and share. And I mean, don't get me wrong. If we have any health and wellness professionals out there that are listening that want a little support and don't want to use that old slimy sales system that everyone feels gross about when it's like something that's actually integrity, let me know. Of course, I'm also happy to help you in a professional realm. But the idea is anyone who's looking for support, just drop us the word monk on any platform and we'll get you hooked up.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming. Madhu, it's been a great pleasure. Super interesting. And thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to like this episode and write a review and subscribe so you don't miss all the next awesome episodes. Thank you for listening. And thanks again for coming, Madhu. See you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Money and Business Hero podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and you got some value from it. Please take a moment to leave a rating, or even better, a review. That helps awesome people like you to find the show and me to produce more and even better episodes. And don't forget to subscribe. If you want to get regular free tips, tools, techniques on how to build wealth and financial freedom, or simply how to improve your financial life in all three pillars of financial success. Join my free Money Hero Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/moneyhero. Find the link in the description or find out more on the website moneyheroacademy.com. See you there.